Welcome back, my friends. Glad you're here. We're in the home stretch, the final hour, the fastest 4 hours in talk radio, and we call it Frankly Speaking Radio. Welcome to all of you listening on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org as well as franklyspeakingradio.com. We're doing some news, but I'll give it out anyway. Our phone number, 800-313-9443, toll free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. This story, again, is talking about the proposed bomb test, which was scheduled to happen last June, and there was a lawsuit that was filed, and it held up the test. But I guarantee you, they're going to find a way to make it happen. It's called Divine Strike, which I think is very interesting in light of Bush's interest in end times, courtesy of the Jack Van Impe Ministries, which we discussed earlier this week on the program. And I think it's very interesting that it's supposed to test what it would be like for U.S. Sites to be attacked, as well as our bunker-busting technology. However, they're going to pre-plant the bomb underground. 700 tons ammonium nitrate and fuel oil bunker buster. Now, supposedly, they would say that a nuclear test puts out a certain amount of radiation no matter how you test it. So my instant thought, based on the previous story from January about us developing new hybrid nuclear weapons, these replacement warheads to refurbish our old nuclear arsenal, which, of course, wouldn't even go into production until 2010, they would say, possibly 2012, I think they're testing a new nuke. And I think that the ground is so irradiated that if radiation gets kicked up, which it will because they've done an environmental test and they said there's nothing to worry about, most of the radiation is going to stay on the test site, but some of it might get out, but no more than a smoke detector. The point is they're admitting that radiation will come off of this. They're blaming it on the soil. So even if it is a conventional weapon, it's still going to put out radiation. So if you buy into the official version of events, then there's nothing to worry about except for a little radiation. However, I'm more of the mind that they're going to test it and say it's conventional, say it's a big conventional weapon, but I think it's going to be a nuke. One of the new ones. Just my personal opinion. Besides citing health concerns, Hager's lawsuit also charges that the test would be held improperly on tribal land and that the government is really seeking to test the effects of a nuclear bomb. James Tegnilia, director of the DTRA, has acknowledged that there is now no way to transport a single conventional bomb of the type that Divine Strike will test. Also, budget documents from 2005 and 2006 say Divine Strike will simulate a low-yield nuclear weapon ground shock environment, end quote. So this is supposed to simulate a nuke. The guy who filed the lawsuit said it's supposed to test the effects of a nuke, which sounds like radiation. I just think that it's far more likely to say that they are testing a nuke. I also think it's very interesting that, you know, the director of the DTRA, that's the Defense Threat Defense Threat Reduction Agency, he says there's no way to transport this weapon, a bunker-busting technology weapon. And they can't transport them? So that indicates that this thing is far different than any bunker buster technology type of weaponry that we have used in Iraq and that we have sold to Israel. He said there's no way to transport it anywhere else. We have to do it here. What? It's not a very effective bunker buster if you have to go and find the bunker you're wanting to bomb, dig a giant hole, and put all these explosives in there and assume that it's going to go off and everything's going to be fine. Anyway, the agency has since disavowed the word nuclear. And DTRA officials said they have no plans to test nuclear weapons in the future. Okay. So they initially said it was supposed to simulate the effects of a nuclear explosion, but then they've went and erased that off their website and whatnot. Very interesting, isn't it? There's more, and we'll be back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio. Stick around.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate. including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. The home stretch, folks. Last hour here of our edition of Frankly Speaking Radio, finishing up this very, very important story from the Washington Post, February 7th. It goes on. Final comments from Representative Jim Matheson, a Democrat from Utah's district, includes St. George, is not convinced. He says, quote, "There is no such thing as a 700-ton conventional weapon. Make no mistake about it. There is an effort to move into creating new nuclear weapons." Well, Jim Matheson, you're just a conspiracy theorist. Or, you know, he either read that story that we referred to earlier from the International Herald Tribune about new nukes and about the testing of new nukes and about the biggest concern about the testing of new nukes is that other countries would want to test their new nukes, such as China and Russia. What's the best way to avoid that? Call it a conventional weapon that's being tested at an irradiated site. So the radiation that's picked up by other nations, nothing to worry about here. Now, obviously, you look at the radiation from a smoke detector is enough to sicken thousands and thousands of people, which I think makes this story even more interesting. From the AP, January 29th. Making nuclear power plants crash-proof to an airliner attack by terrorists is impractical, and it's up to the military to avert such an assault, said the government on Monday. Oh, that's nice. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission, in a revised security policy, directed nuclear plant operators to focus on preventing radiation from escaping in case of such an attack and to improve evacuation plans to protect public health and safety, said the NRC in a statement, quote, "The active protection against airborne threats is addressed by other federal organizations, including the military." So, in essence, here's what this story means. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission told these nuclear power plants, and they said, hey, listen, don't worry about trying to make your facility crash-proof. If somebody wanted to tank an airliner right into it, don't worry about that. Let the military worry about that. What you worry about is preventing radiation from escaping in case that happens. So if you're sitting there and you're, you know, doing whatever people do in nuclear power plant reactors, giant plane comes crashing through the roof, your job is first probably not to die, and then to somehow contain the radiation that's in this nuclear power plant from escaping and harming the public. So they admit that radiation escaping would harm the public. We already knew that, no big surprise, but it is quite a contrast from that last story where they said, nothing to worry about here. It stays on the test site. Everything else is like a smoke detector. It's also very interesting, too, because the last story that we had just read talked about what? That the whole purpose of Divine Strike was twofold. Number one, to test our bunker buster technology weapons. And number two, to see how U.S. facilities, underground facilities and whatnot, would fare against a bunker buster bomb being dropped on them. So the U.S. military is trying to figure out how well the U.S. military facilities would hold up under a bomb being dropped. And here you've got the Nuclear Regulatory Commission saying, don't worry about it. Let the military worry about that sort of thing. Obviously, the military is worrying about that sort of thing. Okay. Now, an airplane crashing into a nuclear power plant is one thing, definitely different than a bunker buster bomb being dropped. But the point is that I guarantee you there's a hell of a lot more commercial airliners flying around the United States than there are foreign military aircraft with their own version of bunker buster bombs. Do you not agree? Of course you do. Because you're smart. The agency, meaning the NRC, rejected calls by some nuclear watchdog groups that the government establish firm no-fly zones near reactors, or that plant operators build lattice-like barriers to protect reactors, or be required to have anti-aircraft weapons on site to shoot down an incoming plane. Now, granted, I think some of that might be overkill. I think building a giant lattice barrier to protect the reactor, I presume they mean around the whole thing, not just on the inside, and maybe it is just on the inside, in which case that's not too outrageous. I think having anti-aircraft weapons on site, that's not a terribly unreasonable suggestion. I mean, the Pentagon has anti-aircraft weaponry, right? And they still got hit by a plane, so it makes sense that maybe you should have something and maybe make it work. But I think that having a no-fly zone near the reactor is very easy to accomplish, don't you think? It seems like it. It's just a piece of paperwork for the most part. Pilots don't fly here. Okay. Fly this direction and go around it. Seems very easy to accomplish. But the Nuclear Regulatory Commission completely said, nah, we don't need to worry about that. Hello? September 11th, 2001. Anybody remember that? Of course they do. I think this complete and total shining example of illogic indicates that we might have a terrorist attack in this exact fashion. The very fact that these relatively simple, some simple, more simple than others, and relatively cost-effective, some, again, more cost-effective than others, steps could have been taken to try to ensure the safety, and they said, nah, let the military worry about it. Pentagon, military headquarters for the entire country, got hit with an airplane. And the Nuclear Regulatory Commission said, nah, don't worry about it. It's fine. They got it under control. They can't protect their own place, but they got ours under control. There's only one Pentagon. How many nuclear power plants are there in the country? A lot? Nah. They can't protect their own one place. So let's rely on them to protect the hundreds of, or whatever, thousands perhaps, of nuclear power plants around the country. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Seems relatively, again, illogical. Which indicates to me that maybe this is a bizarre story reported on because of its bizarreness and might come back to bite somebody in the booty at a later time. So anyway, again, we have no-fly zones over the Super Bowl. We have no fly zones every time Bush is happening to speak somewhere. No fly zones over, what, the White House and every other place. But we can't have no fly zones over nuclear reactors. God forbid. It says the NRC, in a summary of the mostly secret security plan, said such proposals were examined, but that it concluded that the active protection against an airborne threat rests with organizations such as the military or the Federal Aviation Administration. The FAA is going to protect our nuclear power plants. Well, it seems like they could do that if they established no-fly zones, but again, that's a non-issue. It said that the various mitigation strategies required of plant operators, such as radiation protection measures and evacuation plans, quote, are sufficient to ensure adequate protection of the public health and safety, end quote, in case of an airborne attack. The commission unanimously approved the plan, which had been the subject of internal discussions for 15 months. They approved it in a 5-0 vote at a brief meeting without discussion. They all voted unanimously that they don't need additional security measures. It goes on, quote, nuclear power plants are inherently robust structures, and our studies show provide adequate protection in a hypothetical attack by an airplane, end quote, said NRC Chairman Dale Klein in a statement, adding that plant operators already must be able to manage large fires or explosions no matter the cause. Okay, but nevertheless, let's manage a problem rather than prevent a problem. Yeah, it's like the whole... I don't know, the common sense approach to anything is out the window. Medicine, all these other things. Never mind preventative measures, let's do defensive measures. Seems silly. The defense plan, formerly known as Design Basis Threat, spells out what type of attack force the government believes might target a commercial power reactor and what its operator must be capable of defending against. While details are sketchy because of security concerns, the plan requires defense against a relatively small force, perhaps no more than a half dozen attackers, but that they could come from multiple directions, including by water, and could include suicide teams. So they have a plan of some sort, but we don't know what the plan is because it's secret. But what we do know is that the plan has a defense against a relatively small attacking force, no more than half a dozen, that's six, no more than six, and they might be wanting to die, suicide attackers. So they've got some kind of plan in place for six people and no more than six attacking a nuclear facility, but no plans for airplanes crashing into them and whatnot. The plan, it says, which formally approves many of the procedures that have long been in place, reflects the increased concerns raised by the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. Or maybe not, considering that the whole main focus of September 11, 2001 was airplanes. It says it includes measures to address cyber attacks, according to the NRC. Some members of Congress and nuclear watchdog groups have argued that the requirements fall short of what is needed. These critics have argued that defenders of a reactor should be ready to face up to 19 attackers, as was the case on September 11th, and expect them to have rocket-propelled grenades, so-called platter explosive charges, and 50-caliber armor-piercing ammunition. Isn't that amazing? The critics say, well, you should be ready to handle 19 attackers, because that's how many we had on September 11th. Well, why not 20? Why not 24? Why not two dozen, right? Why 19? That's the limit of scope of defensive measures and procedures undertaken by bureaucracy. They can't comprehend something falling outside the norm. They just can't do it, or they won't do it. It's up to you to decide. Is it a matter of can't, or is it a matter of won't? Hard to say. The story goes on. The NRC does not assume such weapons being used and rejected the idea of a 19-member attack force, maintaining that the September 11th attacks were four separate attacks, each by four or five terrorists. They're saying, hey, look, so September 11th was four separate attacks by four or five terrorists, so if we say that we can handle half a dozen, we're fine, because there's no way a terrorist group would have more than six people in it. Ridiculous. Stay with us. We'll be back in three.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled J-E-A-N-N-I-E.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Here we go. Finishing up this story about the bizarre unanimous decision by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission that no defensive measures whatsoever are needed other than to repel a force the size of 4 or 5 terrorists, no more than 6, who would seek to attack a nuclear facility with a plane, even though they cite September 11th as the main reason for this. And of course, a plane or 3 or 4 were used in that plan as well. So Senator Barbara Boxer, a Democrat from California, said the NRC appears to not have followed the direction of Congress, quote, to ensure that our nuclear power plants are protected from air or land-based terrorist threats, end quote, of the magnitude demonstrated on September 11th. Daniel Hirsch, president of the Community to Bridge the Gap, a California-based nuclear watchdog group that has urged the NRC to require physical barriers to keep planes from hitting reactors, called the security measures, quote, irresponsible to the extreme. He said, quote, rather than upgrading protections, the NRC plan merely codifies the status quo, reaffirming the existing woefully inadequate security measures already in place at the nation's reactors, end quote. In an unclassified summary of the DBT, the NRC maintains that the studies, quote, confirmed the low likelihood, end quote, that an aircraft crashing into a reactor will damage the reactor core and release radioactivity affecting public health and safety. Okay, the low likelihood. Well, how about the low likelihood of Building 7 coming down, for example? Says the summary, quote, even in the unlikely event of a radiological release due to a terrorist use of a large aircraft against a nuclear power plant, the studies indicate that there would be time to implement the required on-site mitigating actions, end quote. What mitigating actions might those be? Evacuating the community, perhaps? Got to have some panic, even if nothing big is going on. That's the main thing, okay? It's all about terror. Remember, the war is against terrorists. But the terror is what fuels the war on terror. Terrified of some terror by some terrorists makes you buy into the concern about anti-terrorism legislation and anti-terrorism responses. So you got to have some terror in order to justify these kinds of expenditures. So I think that this right here indicates that that we might see a terrorist attack on a nuclear facility using an airplane. Because they said it's so unlikely that that would happen, we don't even need to prepare for it. I feel safe, huh? Obviously, all these submission of our freedoms and our rights and our civil liberties are working out really well. Let's talk about this one. I think this is intriguing. Aljazeera.net, February 14th. It says, a Saudi wing of Al-Qaeda has issued a call for attacks on the oil facilities of nations which supply oil to the United States, inciting Canada, Venezuela, and Mexico in the list. The call was made by the Al-Qaeda organization in the Arabian Peninsula in their online magazine on Wednesday, saying, quote, it is necessary to hit oil interests in all nations, all regions which serve the United States, not just in the Middle East. The goal is to cut its supplies or reduce them, end quote. Canadian energy sector officials said they were taking the threat seriously but had not raised security levels. Said the Al-Qaeda publication, quote, targeting oil interests includes production wells, export pipelines, oil terminals, and tankers that can reduce U.S. oil inventory, forcing it to take decisions it has been avoiding for a long time and confuse and strangle its economy, end quote. So the idea here is to confuse and strangle the economy. Well, supposedly the reason why we had a recession after September 11th was because of September 11th. Okay, 2001, of course. Now, why did we have September 11th, what happened on September 11th? Obviously a terrorist attack. So a terrorist attack of any sort on any scale that is big, looks big, sounds big, and could be nasty, that means that you know, they could say oil interests, sure, yes. Al-Qaeda said it in their online magazine. They have an online magazine. Did you know that? Apparently they have several, but this one in particular from Saudi Arabia, just, you know, some guy posting a story, hey, why don't we do this? And we can't capture Al-Qaeda, but they can have an online magazine. But anyway, the idea here is to screw up the economy, screw up our energy inventories and whatnot. Well, what is everybody in the Middle East now pursuing to counter the need for oil? Nuclear energy. So a nuclear facility getting hit here in the U.S. would do exactly this. It would be terror. It would cause terror. It would cause panic. It would cause economic turmoil. It would confuse and strangle the economy, exactly what they're wanting to do. So the very fact that they specifically say that is their agenda and they're going to go after energy. Now, they specifically say oil, not nuclear, but I do think that the two are almost interchangeable as far as the effects would be. So I do think this is very noteworthy, as well as saying they're going to expand it to other countries, including Venezuela, which is not friendly to the United States, per se. Friendly to the U.S. people, but not the U.S. government. Why would they do that? Well, the answer probably is that Al-Qaeda wouldn't. Stay with us. We're back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse, or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Shoot tombstone full of wine, balls and chain. I'm drinking tea and tea, I'm smoking down a mine. I hope some screwball start a fight. All I'm ready, ready as anybody can be. I am ready for you, I hope. I know you feel like I ain't no way, but stop what you're doing, baby, come over here. I prove to you, baby, that I ain't no swell, because I'm ready, ready as anybody can be. I am ready for you, I hope. Woo!
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. It's Friday morning. I'm glad you're here. Remember, this hour is being brought to you by the Survival Center, your one-stop shop for all things regarding preparedness. The Survival Center has anything you could possibly want or need for anything, including attacks by Al-Qaeda, including nuclear reactor meltdowns, including bad weather, and so on and so forth. Whatever you think of, it's there. You don't believe me, you can call them and ask them, 800-321-2900, or you can go to the website and look at it for yourself, www.survivalcenter.com. Fantastic folks down there. They do good work. So back to the story about Al-Qaeda is going to attack the oil industry. Not here in this country, or not just in this country, or I should say not just in the Middle East, but they also think that we should go after the people who supply oil to the United States, which is Canada, Venezuela, and Mexico. So again, you've got Canada and Mexico. We're all tight. We're all good friends. Everybody's happy. Everybody gets along. We all, you know, drink Canadian beer and eat tacos together. So everybody's happy. But Venezuela, why would they do that? Why would Al-Qaeda attack a nation that has been deemed to be a nation that's harmful to the United States, unless they were trying to convince Venezuela to side with the United States against the war on terror? And why would they want to do that? Venezuela has a lot of oil, folks. If you look at the average price of oil, if it's over $50, it's more conducive for Venezuela to take care, to process that heavy crude, in which case, if the oil is high enough in price, then Venezuela technically has the largest oil reserves on the planet. So why would Al-Qaeda seek to turn, if they're trying to damage the oil industry, why would they seek to turn Venezuela against us? Especially because we read the story last week saying that, you know, Saudi Arabia is going to be responsible for making up the difference because the U.S. is turning away from Venezuelan oil. What? So why would Al-Qaeda do that? The answer is, of course, Al-Qaeda would not, but Al-Qaeda would get blamed. Remember, they put this in their online magazine. It's got to be true. Right? Canada is the biggest exporter of crude oil to the United States, followed by Mexico, Saudi Arabia, and then Venezuela. In Mexico, Maximiliano Cortazar, a presidential spokesman, said that the government is trying to confirm the veracity of the threat. The Al-Qaeda group also vowed new attacks in Saudi Arabia. Now, there you go. Now, this is interesting, too, because Al-Qaeda, why would they go after Venezuela, right? Why would they do that? Why would they go after Iran? February 15th, The Independent. A Sunni group calling itself the Soldiers of God with alleged links to Al-Qaeda has claimed responsibility for the bombing of a military bus in which at least 11 people were killed in a lawless region of Iran close to Pakistan and Afghanistan. The explosion yesterday spurred fears of ethnic and sectarian conflict in the mostly Shia Muslim country. 5 men carried out the attack using a car bomb that was detonated as the bus drove past. One was killed while the others escaped on motorbikes. Reports from the provincial capital Zayadan, where the attack took place, said 5 men had been arrested. Pictures showed the bus scorched and twisted by the side of the road. It was used to transport members of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, Iran's strongest military force, to and from work. Another 31 people were injured. So let me get this straight. Iran is supplying the insurgents in Iraq. The insurgents in Iraq are Sunnis. Okay, Al-Qaeda. The Al-Qaeda in Iraq. They're Sunnis. Iran is supplying the Sunnis with these weapons. The Sunnis say thanks by going to Iran and blowing up a bus full of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. What's the point of this? This is, it's bizarre, and it could go either a couple of ways. Number one, first of all, an attack against Iran's military force or against Iran and the Iranian people is designed to cause sectarian strife, and it doesn't matter if it was done by Al-Qaeda or somebody else. The point is if they go Sunni versus Shia, they could try to foment the same problems in Iran. And remember, trying to, you know, have regime change there, and one of the ways to do that is to facilitate the activities of dissenting groups. Now, officially on paper, supporting those activities would consist of giving them money so they can pass out flyers and start websites and things like that. That's what the official sanction is. And that department, I believe, is run by Dick Cheney's daughter. That's one angle. Another angle would be, of course, Al-Qaeda attacks Iran. So obviously Iran, the military, the official Iranian officials are not behind these attacks in Iraq. They're not supporting the insurgency in Iraq. So therefore, we'd have to say, well, you know, I guess we were wrong. Let's be buddies with Iran and let's get them to become our partner in the war on terror. And, you know, just like we just talked about with the scenario with Venezuela as well. Or, of course, you know, they just blame everybody for being Al-Qaeda, and who knows what's happening. Hard to say. The group, it says, known by its Persian name of Jundullah, shot dead 12 people last May in the Kerman to Bomb Highway in southeast Iran. Earlier, the group issued a video showing the execution of an Iranian officer. Other kidnapped soldiers have been beheaded. Shia clerics quickly appeared on television yesterday to say the Sunnis should not be blamed for the bloodshed. Senior Iranian figures have been warning against heightened Shia-Sunni tensions. Well, and the reason for that, and we've covered that on the show before, although I can't recall if it was the nighttime show or the morning show, and basically the evidence was there that the U.S. was behind some of the actions of causing internal strife within various nations as an excuse for military intervention. Again, causing some of these problems in Iraq, okay, between Shias and Sunnis. So that way they can claim that the insurgency is too powerful and we need more troops. And again, we've talked about this. It took less troops to take the entire country of Iraq than there are there now. There's more there now than took the entire country. Then they're going to, you know, bring in more than or up to 90,000 or more if they institute the draft. And they've got about 100,000 security contractors there on the ground. Then when you factor in the troops we have in Kuwait, the troops we have in Israel, the troops we have in Afghanistan, and anybody else that we can bring in, as well as the aircraft strike groups, we have, in essence, hundreds of thousands of troops to deal with some insurgents. Unlikely. It sounds to me like a push, a blitzkrieg, if you will, throughout the Middle East, nation after nation falling by the wayside, as if this is something they wanted to do. Again, it's a wild card, and we talked about this in conjunction with Russia's concerns. But what I'm saying here, in essence, is that by causing the violence, by causing the internal conflicts, it's an excuse, okay, to move in and settle things down. And, of course, not just in Iraq, but you look at the Palestinians, right, with Hamas and Fatah going after each other. Well, no longer. A peace deal has been brokered between the two, and they're buddies now. They're agreeing to unify and to, in essence, as they say in one story we've got here, form one army. So maybe that backfired. And maybe Iran is trying to keep the same thing from happening, in which case this would backfire as well. But they're well plugged into what the conditions are by which an invasion could be justified, or UN troops, if you will, whatever the case may be. It says official figures put Iran's Sunni population at 9%, but some independent demographers say it is higher. Sporadic episodes of unrest in Arab and Kurdish areas to the west over the last 3 years have been rapidly quelled by the authorities, who fear they're being fueled by British and U.S. forces in the Middle East. Whether or not that's true, I don't know, but that's what they think it is. So obviously that affects us in some capacity as well. Because whether we are doing it or we're not doing it, they think we're doing it. And they think it for a reason. Maybe because they're paranoid, you could say. Maybe because they're conspiracy theorists, you might say. Maybe because they hate anybody that isn't Muslim, you might say. And that's fine. They're all good reasons. But the point is that if they believe this is happening because of U.S. and British involvement, then who will they go after? U.S. and British militaries, people, places of interest, so on and so forth. So we have to be concerned that we're allowing this to be thought over there. Anyway, it goes on. Since the 1979 revolution, more than 3,300 Iranian soldiers have been killed fighting heroin smugglers who use Iran as a main route between the Afghan poppy fields and Europe. Well, those poppy fields, it says since 1979, 3,300 soldiers have been killed in Iran. But we basically allowed the poppy production to resume. So obviously Iran not too happy about that. Says the trade has fueled a heroin epidemic in Iran, with the number of injecting users said to be more than 200,000. Well, that's a way to take over a country, isn't it? To allow drugs to run rampant. And apparently, that's what's happening there. It's all very, very interesting, folks, and it indicates that something's going to snap, something's going to pop, something's going to happen. Big, big things, and probably involving Iran in some capacity. Now, again, we've said this many times. It could go any number of ways. The powers that be, the New World Order, they have many hands and many cookie jars, and they're happy to pull out the cookie of their choice when the moment deems correct to do so. So it's hard to say how this is going to happen, but all of these things need to be considered in the grand scheme of things. Again, I think we need to look at things from a broad focus as well as a very, very tight focus. We have to see the little pictures that matter so much, and we have to see the big pictures that compile all the little ones, if that makes any sense. If it doesn't, well, I can't help. I don't know. Hopefully I'm not making it too convoluted, but it is a big issue. It's a very, very broad issue with lots of different angles and things to consider. This is from the Inter Press Service, came out February 13th. U.S. and Israeli hopes of forging a Sunni-Arab alliance to contain Iran and its regional allies may be misplaced, at least at the popular level, according to a major survey of six Arab countries released last week. The face-to-face survey of a total of 3,850 respondents in Egypt, Jordan, Lebanon, Morocco, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE, United Arab Emirates, found close to 80% of Arabs consider Israel and the United States the two biggest external threats to their security. Only 6% cited Iran. 80% U.S. and Israel, 6% Iran. This is in the Arab countries. This is what they think. This is what the people think. Face-to-face surveys, not telephone surveys. People like, you know, oh, yeah, we called these people, I promise. It's very interesting. Less than 1 in 4 Arabs believe Iran should be pressured to halt its nuclear program, while 61%, including majorities in all six countries, said Tehran has the right to pursue it, even if the program is designed to develop nuclear weapons. They're saying, hey, look, let Iran have the bomb. It's cool. Remember Jacques Chirac's comments? Very similar, weren't they? The poll, it says, the fifth in an annual series conducted by Zoghbi International and designed by Shibli Talami, a senior fellow at the Sabin Center for Middle East Policy at Washington-based Brookings Institution, was carried out in November and December. Talami said he doubts these sectarian tensions are changing basic attitudes among the general public on key regional issues in the countries covered in the survey, with the exception of Lebanon. So in other words, he's saying that with all the sectarian strife, all the problems, Shia versus Sunni in Iran, Shia versus Sunni in Iraq, Hamas versus Fatah in the Palestinian territories, he's saying regardless of that, both sides still view the U.S. and Israel as the big problem, not each other. That if it came down to it, they would unify against us. This is how we're supposed to see it. This is what we're supposed to understand. Because we're saying, man, what are we going to do? They're saying that regardless of the problems that they're causing, it's not having any effect. But it is having an effect. And the effect is not to necessarily turn these countries against each other per se. The long-term goal is to turn them all against us to facilitate this war. Now, you could say, what war are you talking about? Are you talking about the war on terror? Yeah, to a certain degree. But do you remember what Bush called the war on terror when it first started? Anyone? Bueller? He called it a crusade. That's what this is all about. Okay? Among other things, but it's certainly one of the things that we have to consider. Said Talami, quote, the public of the Arab world is not looking at the important issues through the Sunni-Shia divide. They see them rather through the lens of Israeli-Palestinian issues and the anger with U.S. policy in the region. Most Sunni Arabs take the side of the Shias on the important issues, end quote. That's what we've been wanting. A little unification among those wacky Arabs to get them all to come against us so that way we can go full out against them. See, the whole thing in the war on terror, and again, look at all those troops there. You think they're all there just for Iran? Iran would primarily be an air campaign. So why all the troops? Because it's going to expand more and more and more afterwards. And one way to do that is to really fire up all the tensions. You look at the tensions in between the Israelis and the Arabs, as far as the construction project, or I should say the archaeological excavation happening at the Temple Mount, which is also the Dome of the Rock, okay, like the second holiest place in all of Islam, And the Israelis are going, let's go and dig some stuff out of here. Yeah, we had an earthquake and a snowstorm, so we need to go out and excavate all this stuff, and we'll do our best not to damage your holiest of shrines. That's designed to, again, kick off this holy war. This survey, the actions being done in the Middle East, are designed to facilitate this holy war. That's what it's all about. You can't have a crusade if one side doesn't show up. We could poke sticks and say harsh words, call them axis of evil, and say this and this and this. But if nobody's going to, if they're not going to respond, it's no fun. You could be a bully and, punch somebody in the face, but if they don't try to hit you back, it's not even a challenge. You got to have the challenge. You got to have the American people fearful enough to authorize these kinds of things. Because right now, we are not seeing a real threat from Iran. But if you took Iran, Sunnis and Shias, all over the Middle East, all over the world, and unify them against the U.S., well, the American people might get behind that, wouldn't they? Stay with us.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm glad you're here, folks. It's the final moments here of the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. I've enjoyed spending it with you, of course, and I don't know if we're going to have time to get through the rest of the story, but we can certainly try. Again, Interpress service, February 13th, I believe. Let me double check that for you, just so you can find it easy. Yes, February 13th. More than 3 out of 4 of all respondents described their attitudes towards Washington as either somewhat or very unfavorable. And that would be 21% somewhat unfavorable, or 57% very unfavorable. Negative feelings were the strongest in the three monarchies. In Jordan, where 90% of respondents described their views unfavorable, Morocco had 87%, Saudi Arabia had 82%. After aggregating the poll results in each country and weighing them by national population, the survey found nearly 4 out of 10 Arabs named President George W. Bush as the foreign leader they most disliked, far ahead of 2 Israeli leaders, Ariel Sharon with 11%, and his successor Ehud Olmert with 7%. So that's pretty interesting. 40% hate George Bush, only 11% hate Ariel Sharon, and only 7% hate Ehud Olmert. The result was particularly remarkable, according to Talami, because in his 2005 survey, Sharon led Bush in the most disliked category by 45 to 30%. So Sharon dropped to not as much hated, I guess, and Bush went up 10 points. So, hey, congratulations. Majorities in every country said they were prepared for peace with Israel based on its return to the 1967 borders, but among those who said so, majorities also said they did, quote, not believe that the Israelis will give up the territories peacefully, end quote. On the other hand, pluralities in both Saudi Arabia with 42% and Jordan with 36% said that Arabs should continue to fight Israel even if it returns to the 1967 borders. Weighted by national population, the survey found 61% of all Arabs would accept such an agreement. Said Talami, quote, this is much more than I expected, end quote. 29% said Arabs should keep on fighting. So in essence, folks, Arabs fear the United States and Israel. Not Iran. They hate the United States and Israel, not Iran. But they certainly hate Bush more than everybody. So again, whatever this is, the sectarian violence is serving its purpose because it gives us an excuse to have a massive amount of military personnel on the ground in Iraq to deal with Iraq, of course, nowhere else. And at the same time, we now see that these various sects, with a CTS, by the way, for those perverts out there. These sects basically will unify against the United States and Israel if need be. So the crusade is on, folks. It's scheduled. It's about to happen. So whether you deem this to be simply foreign intrigue, whether you've deemed this to be prophetic in nature, either way, when we've stressed this many, many times on the program, make sure that your spiritual foundation is intact. It is your number one most important as far as preparedness, your number one issue, okay? Because you have to have the mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual fortitude to endure what looks to be the most horrific time in history. Plus, I think that faith brings comfort. It brings a sense of peace, and it brings a sense of calm, okay, that only God can give to you. So my assessment of this whole thing is it's going to happen. Maybe, probably not the way they want it to happen, but it is going to happen. But ultimately, folks, like I said, God doesn't judge in groups. He doesn't judge the entire nation of America. He judges us in individuals. And if you're squared away, you, my friend, will be fine. Have yourselves a spectacular evening or day, whatever your schedule looks like, and we'll see you in about 20 hours with more Frankly Speaking Radio. Have a good one.